I tried to prepare a Good Friday service. I had four prepared, all good, but they were not what God wanted. I hope that you understand, church, that God is upset with the church. Those songs we sang tonight, he didn't want those sung. They don't mean anything to you. We've been praying for years and years and years and years and years and have not changed the church's heart. He does not want us to go back and relive something we don't even believe in. If you really go think about what happened the first night of Passover. Wednesday night, we had a new moon, full moon, and I think it was pink. I thought it was green, but Gabriel said it was pink, and I thought, I'm surely not Chris, it's colorblind, but it was pink. Then during the night, the thundering and lightning was horrible. Now you have the storms blowing all over the place. Tornadoes are going on. One state is totally shut down because of so much snow. God is trying to get our attention, church, and he hasn't gotten it yet. And you need to understand the heart of God. You need to understand. All right, the two words, one for Saturday, for Sunday's bulletin, and one for today was all about we need to fight from the stance of victory. And we haven't done that yet. We're still not fighting from the stance of victory. If you're really paying attention to what's coming across the internet now, the government's trying to take the church over. And I'm hoping that the church isn't going to lay back and let that happen. I'm hoping that we don't let, like we did when prayer was taken out of school, the Bible was taken out of school, and all this other stuff happening. I hope we have learned a lesson, but have we really? We are to be involved in this, not out there holding rallies or anything, but in prayer. In prayer. We need to quit trying to build our own ministries, and we need to be concentrating on what's going on in the world right now. If you don't get this right, then you're not going to have a ministry. We need to be seeking God's face every day, many times a day. What is going on in the world? And the church hasn't done it yet. You're still too concerned on your ministry, what's going on in your life, and how people are hurting your feelings. And I don't know where the church is going to end up at. I really don't. This is very serious. We need to let our families know that we're very serious with our walk with God. First of all, you need to let yourself know that you're serious with your walk with God. You need to let yourself know that nothing's going to deter you from the path that God has placed your feet upon. And I don't know about you, but I'm just really tired of dealing with Christians who don't want to change. They like their little pity parties. They like to just complain to people about why things aren't going right in their life, and they don't really want to change. Gabriel asked me a question. He said, when I die, what will I go up there in my clothes that I have on? I said, no, honey, you don't go to heaven. Your spirit goes to heaven. Well, what does my spirit man have on? I said, I've never thought about that, but I guess you're naked. Right? Oh, now he said, I'm going to go to heaven naked. But, you know, just questions like that, you know, that's in his little mind. How many of you thought, how am I going to be dressed when I go to heaven? You know your spirit man's going to go, but what's your spirit man going to have on? The glory of God, I guess, right? How many of you sit around thinking things like that? Are you always going, well, you know, so-and-so isn't talking to me lately, or, you know, they're trying to take over my ministry, or stuff like that, when you should have your mind. I teach my kids your mind should be stayed on Christ all the time. Not on things that people are doing to you, but you need to be stayed. Your mind needs to be stayed on Christ. Father, I just thank you and I praise you for your message for tonight. I thank you, Father, that you're letting us know how upset you are. But Father God, I want you to show us mercy. Let the church get it together, Father. And Father, I thank you and I praise you for whatever you're putting us through. is to get our attention so that one day we sit in heavenly places. And Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, God gave me the word today. I was thinking, well, God, when everybody else was talking about victory, you had me talking negative. Now they're all talking negative and I'm talking victory. But, you know, God is still God, right? All right. On Good Friday, Jesus went from tragedy to triumph. On Good Friday, Jesus went from tragedy to triumph. And God is calling us to do the very same thing today. We are not to give in to the wiles of the enemy. Church, when are you going to take a stand for righteous sake and then stand your ground? This just welled up in my spirit. I said it, but I believe the Holy Spirit put it in my spirit. Church, when are you going to take a stand for righteousness' sake and then stand your ground and defeat the enemy instead of him defeating you on every turn? Right now, the world is watching the church. Are you a light to the world, or are you a compromising light that never produces lasting light? Now, this is all me speaking, then we're going to go into what God said. Right now, the world is watching the church. Are you a light to the world, or are you a compromising light that never produces lasting light? God is setting boundaries so his standards won't be compromised. You won't be able to ever compromise ever again. You're either in or you're out, period. You're either sold out to God and only wanting to be his servant, or you're not. This wishy-washy junk that's been going on is finished. God is angry. He really is angry. If you really are walking. See, this is what I sat near God said. They still don't walk in the spirit. You know, before you do anything else, you need to make sure you need to be crowned to God. God, I need to be walking in the spirit. I need to be led by the spirit. Because if you don't have the spirit, I don't care how you can speak. I don't care what you can put together. It's not going to last. It will crumble. Because it's your flesh and not God. Church, we must understand the deep. Church, we must understand deep within our bosoms that which is being shaken is beyond a virus and even a governmental crisis. It is God's heart for all of creation and the eternal destinies of peoples and nations that he wants to awaken deep within our souls. God wants to wake us up to the fact that there's so many lost souls out there that need to be harvested. And so he's going to shake and he's going to shake until he gets the shaking done. And he told me, he said, daughter, when it's finished, you're going to be surprised who is not going to be sitting in my kingdom. He says, there's too much false out there and not enough good. So, you know what you're doing. God knows what you're doing. And I really don't care at this point what you're doing. I need to keep my mind focused on God. I don't want to get into your little squabbles, because if you're really in the spirit, you're really following God, you won't even have a squabble. You really won't. Now, this is where God starts, all right? Children, have I not said you have never been this way before? He has. Did I not say darkness was going to cover the earth? I'm sorry, this earth. But my light will burn bright within each of my children's hearts. You are here now, children, and playtime is over. The enemy is out for blood, and nothing will satisfy him except the blood of my lambs being poured out into the streets of fear and despair. And as he said that, I thought about he wasn't satisfied till he had Christ on the cross with his blood flowing down the hill. So what did God say? The enemy is out for blood, and nothing will satisfy him except the blood of my lambs being poured out on the streets of fear and despair. But you, little ones, I have been training on the backside of the desert for such a time as this. You are my remnant ones, and you have been trained in every form of spiritual warfare there is, and you have come forth standing tall and firm in my heavenly places. And not all of you sitting right in this room, and I can say that's you. You have trusted me in the dark times, and you have trusted me in the days of great joy. And now you are ready to climb high with me into the most glorious time in church history. The darker the hour, the brighter the light. So much has been transpiring all round about you, and sometimes you are puzzled. But in all the puzzlement, you have kept your faith and refused to walk in the fear the enemy has brought forth. You have and still are standing on the promises I have given you. Because of this standing, when others are running, you will be used in this battle for souls. Yes, I said battle. The adversary wants to keep these lost souls, and I want you to go forth and bring them into my kingdom of light. Now is the time for a reckoning of souls and dividing of hearts. My people have been ridiculed, mocked, and derided long enough. I am acting on the prayers of the saints, both past and present, for that which is happening upon the earth. Yes, even the cloud of witnesses is joining in this call for justice to roll like thunder. And if you're really walking in the Spirit, you see that cloud of witnesses constantly in heaven waving you on. This started about a month ago with me, and God said, it's not only my angelic host, it's not only me and my son, but it's the cloud of witnesses that's cheering you on also. Anyone you have that died before you is that cloud of makes up that cloud of witnesses. And they truly do stand up there and they look down through the portals of heaven and they do encourage you to go on. And if you're walking in the Spirit, God will open your eyes and allow you to see that. I see it over and over again. Really, whenever I'm just really befuddled with the body of Christ and can't believe they have not grown up yet, and I'm sitting there in discouragement, God will open the windows of heaven and let me see my loved ones have gone before me saying, you can do this thing. You can do it. Just keep going. I'm telling you what, saints, if you'll just lose yourself and if you'll just receive Christ and walk in the Spirit, there's so much wonderful things, so many wonderful things that you will see and go through. Totally blow your mind. Then you'll be like me and you'll sit back and you'll get angry and you'll get upset and you'll cry, God, when will they ever learn? When will they ever grow up? When will they ever touch the hem of your garment? Are you hearing me here tonight? Because God said, because of my fierce love for my people, those who have stood against me in rebellion and insurrection can no longer be kept back from the consequences of their sin. Separation is occurring. Separation is occurring. Borders are being reset and boundaries are being reestablished under heaven's order. God said, I am highlighting the boundary lines to distinguish between the pure and the profane, the holy and the unholy, the righteous and the wicked. No longer can the plumb line be altered or my standard of holiness be compromised. And I don't know how many times since I've been born again that God spoke to me through me and said, the plumb line is set. And then he'll say, the plumb line is set. That's his grace. I said, God, you just said that. But that's his grace giving the church time to get yourself together. But what does he say here? No longer can the plumb line be altered or my standard of holiness be compromised. A bloodline is being drawn between those who live under the sins of the generations and those who are under the blood of the Lamb. Yes, the blood has been crying out upon the earth, and I am answering. There can no longer be any question, and the choice is being made clear. And God said, told me years ago, my son's blood is crying out for revenge. Is it the people are trampling over that precious blood, and I'm upset, is what God told me. And he's gotten more upset. He's gotten so upset that we are now under his wrath. See, you don't even really understand what's going on right now. And God told me a night when I was trying to get an Easter message together that sounded, that I knew my spirit was the right one. He said, they aren't even celebrating Easter for the right reason. They just celebrate it because people celebrate it. He said they aren't celebrating it from a heart that's broken and wounded because of what they did to my son. He said you cannot do Easter this year as you've done Easter. It's different this year. I'm hearing God said the crying out is different this year. There is an abundance of tears, but not for the right reason. The tears are for their selfish self and what they're going to have to go through. It's not because of what my son already went through. The plague that besets you will yield a great harvest if you submit to my purposes through it. Do not seek to determine its root. Simply know that I am able and my blood is its cure. Even that which is causing a separation in the natural, I am using for your good. You know, God just spoke to me last night as I was walking down the hall of my house. He said, your life is getting ready to change so drastically that you're not going to recognize it at all. I've been working behind the scenes, and I'm going to bring it to the forefront. And you're not going to recognize anything around you. That's made me to ponder. All right, God, what are you up to? You know? I don't know. He hasn't said. I'll just have to wait and walk it out. What did he say? Don't make plans for the future. A lot of people are making plans for the future. He said, walk one day at a time. That's not a negative thing. You need to live the day you're in, and you need to live it the way God wants you to live it, and quit making plans for what how big you're going to be a year down the road. That's what God's talking about. Quit making plans for the future. Live one day at a time and let God speak to you one day at a time what he wants you to do in that day. God said that which has been hidden in camouflage will be exposed. Those who have been playing characters are being stripped of their costumes. Those who have served other gods will be laid bare and feel the weight of their choices. It is not my punishment that does this, but my mercy, in hopes that they will yet see the folly of their ways. It is not my punishment that does this, but my mercy in hopes that they will yet see the folly of their ways. I am not a God who delights in punishment or relishes in wrath. If only you knew the depth of my heart for my creation. No, it is my mercy that has held back the consequences of men's ways in hopes that they would awaken to their true state. I can promise you that the people in this church have not yet come to this place. I see too much flesh. I hear too much worldliness. And I know you have, what did he say? No, it is my mercy that has held back the consequence of men's ways in hopes that they would awaken to their true state. And yet, there are those who have not only resisted my presence and purpose, but they are leading many down a path from which there is no return, and my heart can no longer bear it. Woe to those who place a stumbling block in front of these children, isn't that what the word says? God said, and yet there are those who have not only resisted my presence and purpose, but they are leading many down a path from which there is no return, and my heart can no longer bear it. God said, oh, my people, this pains my heart. If you only knew how my heart breaks to allow sin to take its course. I grieve and weep at the blindness of man and how the enemy of your souls has tormented you for ages. How many of you watch your children, even though you told them about the Father, keep going down that road of sin, and you know they're destroying themselves? But there's not a thing you can do about it. You just have to sit by and watch them do this thing grieved in your heart. And don't you think that's what God is saying there about him? We're his children, and he's watching us go down that road of sin, of self, of flesh. And he knows it's going to destroy us, and there's nothing he can do about it, because he's done all he can do. If you think he doesn't sit and weep, you don't know your father. You really don't. God said, I do not delight in what must take place. For my love has always been strong enough, and I have longed for all to know it. Even in my wrath, it is my love that compels me to respond to injustice and wickedness, not my anger. Let's read that again, Brad. Even in my wrath, God speaking, it is my love that compels me to respond to injustice and wickedness, not my anger. You know, he loves you so much. He's trying to get your attention. He's saying, please don't go there, because if you do, you won't be mine. It's his love that chastises us. It's his love that tells that you're going the wrong way. It's his love that says, stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord at work on your behalf. It's his love. It's his love. God says, you do not yet comprehend the sheer power that is within my heart or my passionate zeal for my own. And each one of us are his own, right? God says, do not delight in the destruction of the wicked. Even as your flesh may rejoice in vindication, embrace my heart that weeps concerning their eternal destination. You know, I'm watching some loved ones of mine go down a really, really, really bad road. And God told me over a year ago, don't pray for them anymore because I'm not hearing your prayers. You've done all you can do, now just put it in my hands. But last night I got on my face and I cried out to God. I know, God, you told me not to pray about this again, but please, please have mercy on them. Please don't let this take them out. And you know, that's a mother's heart, right? Grandmother, whatever I am. That's my heart for those I love. And I guess I'll continue to do this until something happens. But I know that God loves them. And he doesn't want them to perish. And I know he hears a mother's heart. He says, do not delight in the destruction of the wicked. Even as your flesh may rejoice in vindication, embrace my heart that weeps concerning their eternal destination. Repent for the ways you have gloated or taken glee in the downfall of your enemies. I never do that because you know what? I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. I'm not walking in their shoes. I don't know what kind of spirits are controlling them. The only thing I know is my Father says, love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Love the unlovable. Isn't that what he has been telling us for years? God said, if you only knew how many times your prayers have been answered in my interventions, and yet they have not heeded me. In other words, God stopped them from dying because of my prayers, you know, or whatever you're praying for. But yet they just so well didn't die this time. And they didn't heed. It was God in his mercy that kept them from something happening to them. God said, they will not listen, and it has pained my heart, and it should pain your heart as well. And it does. I know each one of you sitting here pains your heart. Do you see somebody you love or hear somebody you love talk negative or do things you know that's going to be detrimental to their welfare? I know you all do. You all have hearts. God said, but their continued mutiny can no longer be tolerated, for the earth has been increasingly groaning under the weight of sin and it has its limit. When God said that, it just blew my mind. That their continued mutiny can no longer be tolerated, for the earth has been increasingly groaning under the weight of sin, and it has its limit. Weep with me, feel the pain of my father's heart that cries out for the children of men to be saved. If we had the heart that God had, we wouldn't be sitting wallowing in our own sin and selfishness in our flesh, because we'd want to bring in that harvest of souls that God said each day are falling into the pit. We would be thinking about souls, wouldn't we, and not ourselves, and not what we have to go through. God said, yes, the adversary is being confronted and taken down by heaven's forces, and justice is rolling like thunder. But even as the works of the devil are being destroyed, allow me to imprint you with my son's passion that will burn eternity in your hearts. You know, when I was talking about the thunder and lightning, God told me one time, daughter, watch for the thunder and the lightning. And when that thing was hitting so hard, and the lightning was striking, we watched it strike over in the woods. I remembered that. What's going on right now has a great significance in the heavenly realm. God is at work trying to get our attention. He said, when you hear the thunderings and lightnings, watch and see what I do. You know, if you're a true prophet, if you're a true child of God, you will weep at what's going to happen to the churches, to the peoples who say Jesus is their Lord and he's not. It's not going to be nice. And you're not going to want to see somebody hurt you. You're not going to want to see God bring his vengeance down upon him. You aren't. You aren't. I tell my family, as you're judging others, that's how you're going to get judged. I said, do you really know why they are doing what they're doing? Until God shows you their heart, you just need to be quiet and pray for them. Isn't that right? But still the judging goes on. God said, regardless of what is to come, know that my love is greater, my power is stronger, and my determination more fierce than ever. Regardless of what is to come, please remember this. Regardless of what is to come, know that my love is greater, my power is stronger, and my determination more fierce than ever. God said, darkness has no power, for I move from within even the darkest of clouds. See that? Darkness has no power, for I move from within even the darkest of clouds. Know that all that must transpire will cause the world to see who I am, not that which they have made me to be, but that which is of another realm and another spirit. Barbara, God's saying to you, stand your ground. Don't be ashamed. Stand your ground. God said, know that all that must transpire, it has to happen, will cause the world to see who I am, not that which they have made me to be, but that which is of another realm and another spirit. God said, know the force of my love and the cause of my passion. Establish the borders of your heart. Apply the blood to your doorpost and determine your course with conviction. For in these, your vision will be clear, your peace established, and your boundaries secured. In Ezekiel 33:11, as I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die? Church, there's wickedness in the house of God. Sin abounds in the house of God all around. And so Ezekiel 33 11 says, "As I live, declares the Lord, the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways, for why will you die?" And he's saying, church, you need to get rid of the wickedness that's in the house of God, my house. Because if you don't, you're going to die. Die spiritually. Eventually die physically. What is it that is transpiring that you don't believe in? That's what God just asked me to ask you. The evil is out there. The evil is abounding. These things are real. They're not make-believe. They're not put on. God is in control, yes, as long as we do our part. He will do his part, he told me one day, whenever we do our part. You can pray all you want, but if you're going to walk in disunity and discord and not love your husband or your wife, not love your children, your prayers are not going to be answered. The word tells us that, does it not? Well, I'm praying like everybody's telling me to. I'm fasting like everybody's telling me to. But are you right with God? You see the importance of this. Are you right with God? If you're not, then your prayers are useless. Now, I'll get a lot of flack from this, but that's what the Word of God tells you. Church, do you want the truth or do you want the lie? The lie will keep you comfortable, but it'll take you to hell. The truth will make you very uncomfortable, but if you follow the truth, you'll one day sit in heavenly places with our Father. With the Jesus that you're celebrating this Easter, the one you keep nailed to that cross, you'll sit in heavenly places with him one day. But if you don't change your wicked, evil ways, it's going to take you to hell. You'll never see Jesus. So why look at pictures of him being beat and nailed to the cross when you don't want to serve him? These are questions that God wants you to ask yourself this Easter season. We need to get it right, or we're not going to get it at all. I love the Father, and I love Jesus with all my heart. I love the Holy Spirit and the angelic host, and I even love the witnesses that are up there cheering me on. But if I don't walk in love, all that love for the heavenly places is doing me nothing. I'll never go there. Are you checking your heart tonight? Are you truly understanding what really happened at this time and in this season? I hope so. Because we're not going to get in the round. This is it, church. And if God shakes you loose, and you're done. And that's not a negative thing. That's the truth. This is the last great shaking before the harvest comes in. And God has warned us over and over again that we could be standing on the outside looking in and can't get in. And when he had me teach about the 10 virgins, he said, that's the church. Some have oil and some don't. And he was warning the church, get your oil. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Walk in holiness and righteousness. And quit playing games. He said, here, game time is over. Isn't that what he said? How many of you tonight can honestly look in a mirror and say, Jesus, I'm all that you called me forth to be? In other words, I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking in holiness and purity of heart. I've died out to my flesh. And I'm your servant. Did I say you would never make a mistake? I never said that. You're still flesh and blood. But by George, you don't have to make a mistake every day of your life. And if you do make a mistake, you'll be like David, and you'll cry out to God and you'll repent, and you won't ever do that sin ever again. Are you listening? I've been crying out to God and crying out to God because ever since I've been born again, I've been very quiet. And, you know, I never raised my voice. And I would just stand back and watch people that did dumb things. And I would just say, God, just thank, I thank you that that's not me. And now I feel like I'm hard-hearted. But God is he has told me and confirmed it over and over again through other people that I'm not hard-hearted. I'm feeling his heart, but I don't like it. I don't like it because God's angry with his people. And yet, when you really fall in love with God and you become truly his, totally and completely, you always feel his heart. You will feel his heart. And you'll know every one of his moods. And really, you don't want to feel him when he's angry. I've even said, God, I don't want to. Today, I don't want to feel your heart. I like to have a little bit of peace. Then I have to repent, right? Because I'm a child of God. And if I'm going to stay that way, I have to feel his heart, no matter what mood it is. Amen. Well, Father, I truly do thank you for the word tonight. And Father, our God, it is a Good Friday because Jesus came down off of that cross. And Father, I'm asking you to move among your people during this, the rest of this season. I'm asking, Father God, to give them different strategies so that they will walk in holiness and purity of heart. And they will never again look at that cross and see Jesus still nailed there. But they will look at that cross and say, thank you for carrying your cross and completing your assignment. Father, you're calling us to holiness this week. And as your people cry out to you to make them holy, I'm asking, Father God, for more grace. I'm asking for an abundance of your holiness to be poured out upon them. And Father, let them know they're loved. Let them accept you for who you truly are. A Father that formed them in their mother's womb and brought them forth for a purpose for the kingdom of heaven. And Father God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's saying tonight he wants you to sit quietly for a few minutes. And he just wants you to contemplate on where you're at with him. What's going on in your life and your emotions. And God's also upset with you who will not be truly married to your spouses. But you just put up a facade, a front. Because you're so selfish and self-centered. But all you think about is you and what you desire. God's upset with that. So I'm asking you, and then God said that he's asking you to change your heart and change your ways before he has to move in and judge your marriage. You don't want to be found wanting on his scale. Love is what this season's all about. We sing about it and we talk about it, but do we live it? We need to start living it instead of talking about it. So just take a few minutes. Sit at the throne of grace. And allow him to have his way in your life. Children, if there was ever a time when you need to be forgiven, this is the time. If there was ever a day that you need to check yourself out, this is the day. If there is ever a time that you need to be honest with yourself and with me and with those around about you, this is the time. I am not coming back this way ever again. If you can be shaken, you will be shaken. And I'm asking you to check yourself out. I don't want to shake you loose from the vine, but I will if I have to. This is the time of the great harvest of souls. You've had your chance with me. I've loved you. I've forgiven you. I've shown you mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace. But that day is over. New beginnings have occurred all across this land. And when this fierce battle is over, you'll be shocked at what you see. For I tell you a truth, I will get the church's attention one way or the other. And you individually are the church. Get rid of the facade. Get rid of self. Truly follow my son. This is a very, very serious time in each one of your lives. You know where you're at. You know what you're doing. I could call you out, but I won't. I want you to check yourself out. It's better for you to fall on a stone than have the stone fall upon you. I am revealing sin where sin abounds. I am revealing transgressions where falsehoods lie. I love you. And I also love the lost and the dying. And it's time that you go forth and bring in the Gentiles into my house. If you don't want to change, I will bring others in who will bring in the harvest. The shaking is going to be really hard. It's not going to be nice. But I am shaking everything that can be shaken.